This holiday season, you know what I have on my wish list? Adventure. That's why I got a new Honda during the Happy Honda Days sales event. They have a whole lineup of rugged, all-wheel drive SUVs, CR-V, Pilot, Passport. But at the end of the day, I drove off in a new HR-V with a bunch of safety features. And best of all, I got it on clearance. So don't just sit around knitting an ugly holiday sweater. See your local Honda dealer for Happy Honda Days clearance pricing today.
Rashford, he's in here, he scores! Marcus Rashford takes yet another step up the ladder. And it's a lad from Manchester who scored.
Only chance in my team like Man U.
Yeah, like Man U.
Thank you, man. Guys in my head like shampoo. Violate the squad, might bang over. Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Manny.
Ready! Description. Oh. How about
Martial is isolated. Skirtle here.
Oh yes! Welcome to Manchester United. Anthony Martial.
I'll be for backstage till the bar's done. Slap one, slap two, that's your dance done. Like Rashford, I'm a fast one.
Thank you, man.
Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you.
Bang.
Only champs in my team like Man U.
Yeah, like Man U. Thank you, man.
Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you.
Bang.
Only champs in my team like Man U.
Yeah, like Man U.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Make United Great Again, a.k.a. www.makeunitedgreat.com, it don't exist. www.rashford.com, it don't exist. www.pogbasmosthated.com, it don't exist. First of all, I want to thank you all who came to our live show yesterday. It was a great event. We're going to have more events coming to you guys more regularly this year, but yeah, just shout yourselves out. You made it a great, great night. I'm going to start off by introducing the regular lads. This is back from Zanku and Ibiza. How you doing, G?
Hey, don't do that, big man. Hey, don't do that, big man.
Seb, Mr. Elo himself, how you doing, brother?
What's good, what's good? What's good? Crashford in the house.
And Elijah, how you doing, sir?
Good, fam. AM 9, it's 9 a.m.
Okay. All right, cool. It's 9 a.m. everywhere, yeah? Cool.
Everywhere. So,
I'm going to start off, obviously, we did what we had to do yesterday. We enjoyed the live show because we took care of business. But I want us to really take the time to break down the performance, what we liked, what we didn't like, what we want to see going forward, what we think will end up coming back to haunt us. So start me off. Obviously, you all watched it because I was there with you. Who wants to kick off proceedings?
I'll go.
Okay, yeah, go on.
Everyone's moving shy, yeah? Go on, Elijah.
So, yeah, just quick rundown game. First 15 minutes was all Chelsea. They came out the blocks quickly. It was a good press in the middle of the pitch by Pereira and Lingard. Turn over to Martial. Then I think Martial plays a pass and then it's a bit over hit. Hits Lingard, goes to Rashford. We get a pen. And then obviously Rashford sticks it away in his favourite corner. After that 15 minutes we were all right. Then last 15 Chelsea got back into it, was a bit even, and then first 15 of the second half was a very bad game of football, both teams giving it away, and then we just get a quick fire to both on the counter, and then obviously James comes on, gets a fourth. Personally, overall, what I think was that we were not good in possession. There was a lot of turnovers. I mean, first game of the season, there's an amount of sloppiness that I can accept, but the sloppiness from Pogba in particular, Tominay, Lingard, even Martial and Rashford, there was times where they were doing flicks that weren't necessary. Just in our general play, we weren't good in possession. The back four, well, except for Shaw, the rest of them were really good. I was really impressed with Maguire, actually. The thing that impressed me most was the amount of times he stepped into midfield to make interceptions. He was tight to Tammy and Giroud, trying to make sure they don't turn him, because obviously that's where he's weakest. Wan-Bissaka, as usual, was just him. He was really good. Lindelof as well. He just looked more confident beside Maguire, basically. And I think it really did show that him being there, he was being vocal. He was getting his head on everything. It was good to see. Just in terms of tactically, I think the gaps in midfield are ridiculous. Like, we need to sort that out immediately. Like, it's not just the gap in between the defence and midfield. It's the gaps where it's like in behind the wingers we played yesterday, like Rashford and Lingard or Pereira when it was out there. It was like in behind those parts, it'll be like there's a gap between there and the midfield. So Pogba and McTominay kept getting dragged out. And then because of that, there was massive gaps in the middle as well. It was just a bit like, we need to sort it out, because we can't keep playing like that. And because a better team will exploit that. Because like I said last week, Chelsea's attack is like League Two. So it's like, we can't get into this full sense of security and thinking, just because it was Chelsea and like, nah. They're not a good offensive team. Apart from that, I think in order to sort that out, I really do think it would be better if we had rather than having Rashford that wide, I'll prefer Martial and then Rashford up top, and then we can have a flat four where those gaps that Pogba and McTominay have to cover, they don't need to cover because it's a flat four rather than a two a bit ahead, because really and truly you should only play that when you have the ball, not when you don't have the ball. So in terms of that, I think we could do all right.
Cool. Dissu?
Similar sentiments. I just finished watching the game again and it was worse than I thought, you know, like, damn, like, in build-up we're really bad. We're going to struggle with teams that can, if we continue in this trajectory, we're going to struggle with teams that can press effectively and press high. Because trying to play out from the back look like we're going to turn the ball over every time. And just the coordination of our midfield in terms of being compact, Pogba and McTominay playing at their base were getting dragged out to cover the spaces left behind by the wide players. So that was a negative point. But I want to start off positive. It was so nice to finally slap Chelsea, man. Like, proper hate that team. They proper make me sick. Their pants, you know, like, they were bopping the ball around quite nicely. Obviously, you've got Kovacic and Jorginho very, very good in possession in the middle phase and the early phases of play. But they were so toothless. Like, they got into so many dangerous areas, especially Pedro, who was making a wrong decision on purpose. Like, so many times he could slip somebody through and he'll cut inside to do that, hold R1 in a circle, and it was going either into the stands or into David De Gea's hands. And they weren't able to handle United in defensive transition whatsoever. Some positive thoughts for me was Wan-Bissaka is an absolute monster, especially 1v1. He just winned everything, and his recovery, even recovering other people's mistakes, was quality. Lindelof was good. There was one play, I think it was maybe in like the 30th minute, where he was under pressure from two Chelsea players and kind of spun out of it. What people don't realise that McTominay gave him the absolute dire pass. Like, he whipped it to his chest. He had to high foot control it and turn out, which was quite shocking. Maguire was solid, brilliant. And Luke Shaw was terrible as per. I'm not sure if anyone heard Jose at halftime when he was like, oh, Maguire's going to need to learn that he's going to have to cover Luke Shaw a lot, which was like a quick shot at Luke Shaw.
Facts, midfield,
yeah, that's big facts. And it's funny, you have to cover a guy who actually can't attack, which is neither here nor there. The midfield, McTominay was poor. I don't really see what he started to win a couple of tackles in the second half, but in build-up, he looked lost. And when he got the ball, he was just going backwards or getting pressed off it. Pogba, dearie me.
Okay, I've got a quick question from at Houdini. How will you defend the Pogba agenda this season?
I only defend him when he needs defending. Like, he didn't need defending from yesterday. He was shocking. But obviously, when you're that good at football, you can play a pass like that, or the transition counter, which is pretty much a one-man counter, the 1-2 of Martial, and then playing a pass to Daniel James, who got a bit fortunate with a deflected shot, but a good moment for him. He could change the game like that. And it's phenomenal when you've got someone who's playing so deep because nobody else can pass, that even from a deep position, he's able to impact the game offensively in that regard. So, but he was shocking, to be fair. And a front three, I think Lingard did okay in the second half, I can't lie. Martial and Rashford are very sloppy, but they're so dangerous. And I think that was the main difference between us and Chelsea, that we had more dangerous players going forward. Faster, better dribblers and better finishers. And that was the main difference for me.
So are you buying Lingard stock then?
No. I never had Lingard stock. You lot know me. I've never had Lingard stock. Not for a single day.
FA Cup goal, I think I remember you getting some on the low.
No. Definitely not me. You don't have fullback. Don't have fullback. But yeah, Chelsea are gonna be in very big trouble, bro. Like, Lampard came to the, as I said yesterday, Lampard came to the stadium all dripped up from the feet up. By the end of the game, he was looking stressed, bro. The shirt was undone, his hair got a bit scruffy, all of a sudden he grew a beard. So I hope to see many more Chelsea pacings, but we can definitely come ahead of Chelsea. Looking at yesterday's game, I know they've got players to come in, but they just seem so toothless.
The attack isn't good enough.
At all, bro, at all.
It's gonna be tough for them. Obviously, Lamps and his boys went for a 7-mile jog before the game, thinking that it was going to be all easy, slim pickings.
You
had to get touched. So yeah. What's that whipping video they got of Ollie doing the...
Oh. You know? big mood.
That's how we whip
the mini rock.
That's it. They got Ollie doing the mini rock out here, giving man that easy 4-0. Seb, without your agendas, yeah? Tell me what you thought of the game.
Like pretty much similar to what Elijah and Odysseus said. They basically, the first half was crap. We was fortunate to actually be one up. Zuma on his right side decided that.
those of you who weren't at the live show, that's a nod to a certain man on certain pod. We won't name them.
Loser
pod fam.
Yeah, so
Elijah piping up, you know. Zuma
getting chopped.
Imagine the first part of the season, you're talking about Fordo hammering. Can't relate to that still.
Zuma got chopped
on the right.
From the right, and Rash good pen. I ain't gonna lie. I'm hoping it was kind of the nerves from, you know, it's the first game, it's a big game. The players were nervous, because if we do play like that especially against like Wolves, who actually play good football. And I think they've got a better strike force than Chelsea, we could actually get punished.
No, think about it. They do.
So I just feel like we need to just be a bit more careful in possession. I don't think we must practice playing out from the back. However, it seems weird because none of the players create the angles to progress the play upfield. So we pass it and then a player gets stuck, but he shouldn't be stuck. There should always be two options, at least one, you know, for a first-time pass, but there isn't. So they get stuck and then we go back and recycle. And sometimes we get fortunate with it, but it doesn't really seem like it's well rehearsed, because you should always have an option.
We seem to get out of the trap due to some piece of individual brilliance. So, just to reference Lindelof getting away from the two men that were marking him. I think Pogba, for all his like misgivings, he is able to get his yard when he needs to get his yard. And he dropped the shoulder a couple of times. But there were also many times when Pogba was having to pick the ball up on the edge of our box.
Yeah, 100%.
Obviously, Chelsea.
Like, even like a lot of times I saw Wan-Bissaka, he had about three or four men around him, and it was quite difficult for him because there was really any options, so he had to go back. However, there was one time where Chelsea had they had him crowded, and he just kind of took his time. He took his time, saw a pass in the middle, and Chelsea went open. All of their players were around him, and they were open. And Chelsea done that a few times, and that's something we, in pre-season, we've been guilty of being, we've pressed so hard that we're all in one area, and all it's taken is someone to just, you know, concentrate and play a simple pass, and they're through on goal. And we've done that to Chelsea a few times. It was okay, you know, it was okay. I'm happy that we won, and I'm happy that we took our chances.
Yeah, you really can't. Well, you can ask for more, but in terms of looking good on the score sheet and giving Ollie and the boys a bit more confidence, that's exactly the sort of result you wanted.
100%.
Obviously, Maguire got man of the match, and I think that was pretty fair. I don't think he really set a foot wrong. Seemed to win everything in the air, won everything. I think maybe Tammy got away from him once, but other than that, he pretty much won everything that came his way. Other than Maguire, I want you guys to give me your player ratings. We'll start from the back and we'll go all the way to the front. Each of you giving the rating. DDG.
DDG.
Six, man.
I'll say like a seven. He was good. He made some really good saves. And last season, I'm saying a seven because of the bar. So like last season, he would have just pammed some of the balls straight out to like a Chelsea player. Whereas, like, it was kind of back to the old DDG-ish, you know what I mean? So, yeah, he made really good saves, so.
Okay, so six for you. Seven for you, sorry. Disu?
No, I'm back to six. I don't think only one of the things was good from Barkley. But, yeah, six.
And Elijah?
Six, yeah, six. I'm going to judge him by his normal performance, not his worst. So, yeah, okay, six.
Cool. Wan-Bissaka, Elijah?
I'm going to give him...
Eight. Disu?
Yeah, likewise.
Seb?
Yeah, eight, definitely.
Lindelof?
Seven for me.
Seven. I'll give him seven.
And
seven.
Seven.
Yeah.
Seven. Maguire?
Eight.
Eight and Seb?
Eight.
Eight. Luke Shaw, Seb first.
Three.
Three.
Elijah.
I'm gonna give him a four.
Four, okay. Generous. Scott McTominay, to some people on this pod, McSauce.
Kids.
McDry, fam.
Yeah, what would you give him, Elijah?
I'll give him a five.
Disu?
Five.
Seb. Have some shame.
6.5.
6.5. We're not doing 0.5s.
All right, six.
Pogba.
Oof.
This is so hard.
It's weird, isn't it? It's weird. It's a weird
on general play, he deserves a two.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm gonna have to take Shaw down to three. Yeah. Because Pogba was a four, so.
Okay, yeah. Shaw suffering at the hands of another man, yeah.
Yeah.
Pogba was a four.
I'll give him a five just because of the two. No, I'm giving a six. It's more slimy, but give him a five still.
And Seb.
Five, definitely.
Five. Okay, Pereira.
Oh, four.
Four.
I forgot he was playing, to be honest, until I just mentioned him.
It was horrific. Like, yeah, four. If he didn't have the assist, yeah, oh my God.
I don't want to talk about him.
To be fair, he did win the ball back for
He had a couple good moments. That's why I can't really, really like pam him, but yeah, four.
No, I can. He was fucking shit. Like,
all right, Jesse Lingard. Jay Lings to his fans.
I'll give him a five.
Yeah, give him a five. Second half.
Yeah, five.
Three to five. So.
Okay. Marcus Rashford, Sebi?
Eight.
Oh, my God.
Disu?
I'll give him a 7, you know.
And Elijah?
I'm going to give him a 7 as well.
7, and then AM9. Elijah?
I'm going to give him a 6.
Disu?
Yeah, likewise.
Six is fair, to be fair.
Oh, wow, you said that with bare vim, Seb. Wow.
No, it's fair, it's fair, it's fair.
I hear you, brother. And what would you give Ollie?
3.
I'm going to give Ollie a 5.
What would you give him, Elijah?
I'm going to give him a 5 as well.
You're going to give him a 5. So you're saying harsh from this, yeah?
Yeah.
Man's hyping up Lingard on the same point that he's given only a 3. Scary hours, man.
Who's who hyped up Lingard?
You! Lingard, you're right. I don't hear nothing. I just want to hear no Lingard praise, yeah? Unless he's dancing at your ground, I ain't trying to hear no Lingard praise. Okay, so... judging on the ratings, the standout players were Wan-Bissaka, Harry Maguire, Rashford, and Victor Lindelof. Who is you guys' man of the match?
I'm going Rashford. He scored 2 goals.
You're going with Rashford?
Yeah.
Okay, you're going with Elijah?
I'm going with Wan-Bissaka.
And Disu?
Wan-Bissaka.
Wan-Bissaka, yeah. So, man of the match is Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Let's talk a bit more about him, because obviously he's a player who's come over with a lot of hype compared to other left-backs at other clubs, which, again, we won't mention. Defensively, he looks immense and he looks comfortable going forward. We've had to suffer through Valencia and Ashley Young for the last few years. What extra dimension do you think he's going to bring to the team going forward? Disu? You are bare polite this evening, boy. See what a win gets you. Everyone being gentlemen, boy. I know if we lost, you guys would be fighting over each other to talk, man.
Oi.
So, yeah, Disu, what extra dimension do you envision Aaron Wan-Bissaka bringing to the team this season?
Competency, first and foremost. We're not used to that at left back. Or left back, to be perfectly honest. Or centre back. So, yeah, this is new. I watched Wan-Bissaka win, turn off the challenge. I'm like, wow, am I in a twilight zone? I think what he gives us is the ability to allow our right side to play, especially against lesser teams, to have freedom to like cheat. When I say cheat, I mean I'm not track fullbacks and float, because you know that he can deal with the danger 1v1, overlaps and all sorts. And also somebody who's competent and actually very, very comfortable on the ball. Like, and somebody who can also get beyond his fullback and put in a cross. So I think he gives us that extra stability in terms of going forward, defensive transitions, just defensive phases, and then build up. Honestly, I'm so happy with that signing. Literally, the price for me is light now.
Is he better than you thought?
Yeah, he's been cold.
Or just what you're expecting?
No, because obviously, man ain't really trying to watch Palace like that. You heard me? Like, you only really watch Palace when they're playing another big team on TV.
Yeah, and those games, they're under the cosh, isn't it? So you're only seeing he's doing defensively. Yeah.
And to be fair, I always thought he was pretty decent on the ball. I don't know what people are watching, but seeing him in pre-season, he's literally been immense every game. So consistent. Winning the ball, recovering, helping out other players, and in going forward, he's been quality as well. So I'm having him still.
Cool. I want to speak about another player. The 80 million, it's 80 million, isn't it? But is it 80 plus add-ons?
80.
I'm not sure.
Just 80 flat. Elijah getting it clear, right? It's 80.
Just 80.
I ain't hearing anything else. Cool. So Harry Maguire, first game for us, obviously big game. All eyes were on him. How do you think he did? Break down his performance. What you feel, again, he brings to the team, takes away from the team?
Okay, I'll go. Maguire, I think he was really good because his positioning, I'll start on his positioning first. He made a lot of interceptions that could have transpired into half chances or full chances. Whereas I think, you know, in the past, we've seen players like Jones or Smalling, like it goes past them, they drop on the floor, you know, the other team's players in and they have a shot on goal or whatever, you know what I mean? So that I was really, really impressed with. Like, I was also impressed with him carrying the ball into midfield. We get a bit more confident, or he gets a bit more confident. He's going to be playing better passes. He did play a couple good passes directly into like the striker's feet or whatnot, but as we progress and as he gets more confident, and as the team get to know each other, I think we're going to see that more. We're going to see a lot of you know, crossfield or long balls. I think he tried one, didn't really go to plan, but I feel like he's definitely going to bring that. And yeah, man, he was just all solid all round. From what I remember, won all his aerial battles. And I feel like everyone was just confident, like assured. And as like Jose said, he's gonna have to cover Shaw a lot. And I think he did do that.
Jose was box office yesterday, man.
Yeah, the guy's quality is
so
still
good, bro.
It's a sick pundit.
I love him so much.
His punditry and analysis is on another level, and he dominates the room. There's like everybody steps back to let him say what he needs to say, and it's like he's that character, and it's almost like, why couldn't you like imagine that guy, confident Jose Mourinho, being your manager while your team's doing well? Mate, we would have been unbearable. We would have been unbearable. God saved you lot, you know.
Honestly, me. I would have been the worst though. You lot are so lucky.
Cool. So obviously Maguire's done well. Wan-Bissaka's done well. So immediately, even though we did discuss in earlier pods how with Matic playing in front of the back four, that we would still struggle overall as a team because he doesn't protect his defence very well. You can immediately see that better individual players have improved the team. Straight off from the back, because in those individual situations where their ability is most glaring, they're doing much better than what we had before. So like Seb said, we've got a player who is confident, can carry the ball, can engage with strikers physically, and we've got a player right back who just seems to be an absolute boss. So we all assumed that Matic was going to be starting this game. He didn't. He didn't even see the pitch. So first of all, I want to say give Ollie props, but it was glaringly obvious. If anyone who watched any of our preseason games could see that, if Matic started, we would have been absolutely roasted. Do you think this starting lineup is the starting lineup going forward, or are there players that you think are going to perhaps come in and going to get a run out and Ollie want to see what they're about?
I feel like this is going to be the starting lineup going forward. I definitely feel like he's going to try persist, and especially because we haven't had a consistent 11 in God knows how long. Like, it's always been a chop and change. So I feel like he's going to try and persist and, you know, bring some, you know, some continuity, you know, because again, like, we always get shot with injuries. We're always swapping. If we lose, this player's out. And it's been that way ever since Fergie left. So you know him, he's Fergie's son. I think he's going to try to play the same 11 as much as he can.
You're Fergie's grandson, yeah?
I am, to be fair. But yeah. Yeah, so I feel like he's going to try to play the same 11 as much as he can, and then probably change in the cup competitions.
Cool. Guys, so we started really well. We couldn't really have had a better start to the season. What do you want to see from the team going forward? So obviously you've told me what you thought about the performance, who did well, who didn't do particularly well. What sort of things do you want to see the team improving on that will fill you guys with confidence going forward?
Playing out from the back and just general ball retention and also shape. So I felt like we were too wide in defence and in possession, like way too early in build-up. So obviously, anyone that's played football for any team, they tell you once you get the ball, you're meant to disperse and make the pitch, get high and wide, all that type of stuff, yeah? But we would do it when we haven't even secured possession. Like, possession's not even secured. And as Jose was saying yesterday, you've got to anticipate danger. So sometimes, especially Luke Shaw, he'll be always out of position. And he was so easy to drag infield and then Azpilicueta or Pedro get in around the outside of him. But obviously, thankfully, the quality wasn't there. So I want to see just a bit more cohesion in how we transition in our shape. off ball and when we got in possession as well. Definitely, the ball not from the back needs so much work. I'm not sure if it's the shape of the midfield or the personnel, but I definitely don't believe that we should be playing number 10s. I think we should have three in the middle, and I think we should have Fred as the deepest because he's the most competent, which is saying something out of them. And at least with Fred, he wants the ball to feet, and he will actually try to pass the ball through the lines quickly and forward. It's just that he just tends to get panned off the ball by anybody above the height of 5'1", which unfortunately is everybody in the Premier League. So that's what I look to see. And then in attack, just some common sense on Rashford and Martial. Rashford, I was watching the post game again today, and Carragher was talking to Rashford, and Rashford was talking about he's felt that for years that United could be more dangerous in transition. But he said, obviously, with young players, there's a lot of bad decision making. And I think decision maker for Marcus Rashford and Martial can improve. So certain times, especially with Martial, he won't beat a player when he should. He'll try to play a 1-2. Rashford will always flick the ball no matter what the situation is. Or sometimes when Martial just simply pass the ball or cross, he will try to run through five people in one cubic meter of space. So just better decision making because they've got all the tools to be dangerous. And then I think then we'll see a better product on the pitch.
Cool. So if that's what the players need to do, and I mean what, we're in season four of finding Martial, we're in season four of can anybody find Paul Pogba, and we're in season three of, oh, you might rate Rashford, yeah? So all those shows, we're looking for the ratings to go up on those. Fred, I don't rate Fred personally. But I would give him a go in this lineup. Obviously, McTominay brings the PMP and he brings the energy. But based on what we saw, I could easily see that team getting carved apart by anybody half decent. Because remember, same. As poor as Chelsea were, they put together some decent moves. And when they put together some decent moves, they had the team kind of shaking. And obviously, what then happened is that they got to the final third and you had, obviously, poor quality players getting on the ball or, again, horrendous decision-making. So that result definitely flattered to deceive. What did you guys think, Elijah and Sebi? So what do you... So obviously, Ayaz told us what he wants to see going forward. What are you looking to see going forward from the team?
Personally, I would like to see some common sense with how we do our cheating and overload. So for example, we were leaving Rashford up the pitch yesterday, and then that's fine, but you're allowing a 2v1 with probably our weakest member of defense. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, and then going forward, we had loads of options on the left, but we're leaving Wan-Bissaka kind of isolated on the right. And as good as he is defensively and in the middle third of the pitch in terms of being composed and passing out, whenever he gets to the final third, he looks a bit out of ideas. He slows down a bit and he needs options there to be able to pass through. So I think we need to switch where we have our underloads and overloads in that sense. In terms of playing the ball out from the back, we need to set up better because the way we do it is so weird. It's like McTominay pulls into, like, so yesterday, so this whole preseason, Pogba's been playing right centre mid and McTominay's been playing left centre mid. And then, so McTominay was putting out to the left, like kind of left back position. Maguire would be in between that. Then Pogba would be in like a DM position and then Lindelof would be in like a right centre back position. So it'll be like kind of like a parallelogram, but then we'll pass it out. And then Lingard's not offering properly. Pereira's being a ghost as usual. And then it's like there's no options in the middle of the pitch. So he just gets to Pogba or McTominay. And then it's just stuck between those four. And then eventually you try to pass out to a right back. And then it's just hoping that the Chelsea press was so intense that we'll be able to find a pass into midfield and build from there. So we really need to work on how we build up play. In terms of getting into the final third, I think we really need to start in better positions. Like, we barely ever use the spaces in between the centre back and full back. Like the third goal came from Rashford recognising the space in between there and just running through there, just trying to pick up dangerous positions. Like either, like for example, like it doesn't always need to be an overlap. Sometimes a fullback should go inside the wingers, basically just to mix up a bit, just so the opposition doesn't know where it's coming from. We need to really improve our combination players as well. Like the flicks and tricks are all nice, but come on, like.
Hey, chat to your boys. Martial and Rashford. Bam. They're trying to flick at any opportunity.
The thing is, if you're playing a fluid front four, yeah, that means you're not always gonna know where these men are. So why are you flicking it so much when you don't even know where men are? You're just doing blind flicks to no one. And we kept losing the ball. Like, it's okay if you have Man City where they have set positions, so you know that a man's gonna be there. When you're just flicking it and then this Lingard guy is supposed to be right mid is playing, it's like it doesn't make any sense. So like we just need to sharpen up our combination play, like actually look to play. I mean, in terms of just passing it through midfield, it needs to be so much better. Pogba, he needs to take less touch. He needs to trust the front four, basically. He just needs to think, I'm going to take less touches and just pass it swiftly. Like, basically, how he plays for France, where he gets the ball, two touch, gets first touch, out. Like, just play it quickly, just quicken up the pace. Too many times in the first half, especially, he will slow it down trying to do a touch, do a drag back. Like, fair enough, I understand, like, you don't trust these youths up top yet, cool, but fam, you got it, because it looked so bad on him that he kept losing the ball yesterday, and that was just on him. Like, it needs to stop now. Like, he just needs to play like a proper centre mid now, because that's where he's playing right now. So there's no more excuses. He just needs to play properly now.
Thank you, Elijah. Always detailed. Seb, I mean, follow that if you will, sir.
Yeah, just to follow, I just feel like as we progress, I feel like, again, if the team is playing together, everyone's going to have a better understanding of the strengths and whatnot. I feel like McTominay, as Elijah was saying, because I was just picturing position, he was in between Maguire and Shaw. Yeah. The reason why he's in between Maguire and Shaw is because, Maguire, sometimes he does step out, but it's Shaw, because Shaw, like, any sort of pressure, the guy has to go backwards. So when he goes backwards, then I feel like our centre mids or one centre mid will always drop deeper to kind of start their attack again. Like, he's so scared of just driving on the outside. Just drive. Like he literally has no urgency. Like, it's proper annoying. And yeah, man, the flicks were crazy. I see, like, Martial done, like, the craziest one where, like, the ball was coming to him. He just flicked, like, nobody was there.
Not a single soul. Not even the Chelsea player was there, fam.
Not even the Chelsea, like, literally nobody was there. Like, if he turned...
So you're saying, it was like, nobody. Not a single soul.
Not a single soul.
Martial.
Nobody, yeah. And then, like, literally, if he just took a touch and turned, he's going to be driving onto the Chelsea back four, like. So, yeah, again, like, as time goes on, I feel like these things will get better. I just need everybody, like, I want this 11 to just keep playing. Just keep playing. Even if you lose, just keep playing. Don't change it, just keep playing. Maybe make it, okay, what, like, depending on the game, maybe make it a 3. But other than that, like, I just want at least 8 or 9 of these players to just stay in the squad and just keep playing. And I feel like we'll probably get better as the season goes on.
Yeah, so you're pretty optimistic going forward, yeah?
Okay. I just feel like we'll play better. I don't know about the results. I just feel like we'll play better.
The bar is not very high, to be fair. So I guess that's a nice segue into our next game. Wolves away. Bring them on, I say. Bring them on. Dissu, what do you think? They beat us, like, what, 2 or 3 times in the space of, like, a week or two last season? Yeah.
They are enemies still.
Season-defining losses as well.
Yeah, it's looking a bit of a sticky one still. I can't even lie to you. I don't even rate Wolves as much as everybody else rates them. I think last season, that game, when we got 1-0 up, we should have won really comfortably, but it's just absolute shambolic bits of defending. I'm not really confident in this game because what I saw in terms of spaces, I just didn't like. And also, Wolves won't play like Chelsea. Wolves are going to be compact. They're going to be organised. They're not going to make as many defensive mistakes or surrender possession as stupidly as Chelsea would on certain occasions. They're going to probably be in maybe a deeper block than Chelsea was as well. So that's going to really help us in terms of our transitional game and Martial and Rashford finding spaces. So now it's, can we unlock them? Do we have the quality to unlock them? We've got three players, I believe, on the pitch that can do something. And that's Pogba, Martial and Rashford. It's just that now we have to see how good is the movement and the decision-making of Martial and Rashford when teams are playing low block. And this is where they have to be very, very good in their 1v1 game. When I mean 1v1, I mean when they got position, when they're isolated with a full-back or a centre-back is dragged out wide, can they get beyond them and create mismatches? Because I'm not really expecting anything from Lingard or Andreas Pereira, to be honest. And can Luke Shaw be a positive in build-up play? Can he actually get beyond the fullback? And can he actually put in a decent cross? Can he create space for Rashford or whoever's on the left-hand side to move inwards? And can we also be solid on set pieces and not just completely die in transition? Because I can see us getting murdered in transition. Wolves are pretty good in transition. And the spaces we pick up in terms of when we're in build-up play and we turn over the ball, we're very, very susceptible to the counter-attack. Chelsea could have had many goals, as we've all said, but they're just terrible. Elijah says they've got a link to attack, and I'll stick with that. Wolves are probably got a better attack than Chelsea. So, yeah, I'm not anticipating much joy for us on Monday evening.
Boy. Elijah, what do you expect, sir?
I'm pretty scared of that game because one thing I did notice in the Chelsea game is that when we were shuffling across our back four, like Lindelof especially would be scared to like shuffle across properly just to close down the gap between himself and Wan-Bissaka, and then we'd see McTominay have to drop in and basically be like five at the back, but it just left so much space in midfield. So personally, I would really want to match up with Wolves just to go free at the back, because I don't trust us against two attackers. I don't trust that. Like, it's not even just the defence. I just don't trust us to cover the spaces in midfield properly, and that is just so dangerous against Wolves because they live for the transition. So we can't do what we've done yesterday. We need to sell properly. Like, but the problem is that it relies so much on the wing backs, and Wan-Bissaka, like he can power forward at least. Sure, he's so tentative. Like his first touch, for some reason, he plays like he's 5 years old, where he takes the first touch with the sole of his boot. And I don't know who taught him that, but it makes him motionless. Like he stops the ball, and it's like he doesn't. Like the thing is that sometimes he will run with it, and he looks so good, but then he does it like once every 5 games, and it's just like it just pisses me off. Like, so
you know, he's a little tease, isn't he?
Yeah,
he had that game against Palace last season when everyone was like, "Yo, if he can play like this, then we're in business." But obviously, even, it was just one game.
Even versus PSG away last season, he was amazing. But like, he just gives these little performances, and he needs to be consistent now because he had the games last season, his first proper season at United, where he's had a proper run of games. Now he needs to find consistency and form. And so, in terms of wing backs, I'm not sure about just playing Dalot maybe, but I don't think Solskjaer even likes the youth that much. Which, to be fair, it's not even his fault because he just looks.
You got to remember that he's played, what, 30, 40 first team games, if that? He's got raw attributes that we need to be.
He does, but it's just like, mate, it's just like, now that Wan-Bissaka's right back, he can't even like fully grown to that position yet. And like you said, he's played 40 or so games. Like, I'm not going to put him at left back, which is not even his primary position, like, just to learn. Like, it's a bit dangerous. But in terms of the midfield, I would really want us, like, I'm not sure, because Wolves play three in there now, not the 3-4-3 that they started the last season with. They play like a 3-5-2. So it's, I'm not sure how we can set up in there just to negate that, maybe drop Pereira and just like have Martial and Rashford up top, Lingard in behind, just to be able just to like basically just to match, just to like have a like a man mark, like just a 1v1 in there and just try and beat them out that way, and then have Martial and Rashford try and cause problems with the outside centre-backs. Hopefully Lingard have the third man run in there. But boy, it's looking like a tough game. I would really take a draw that game. But then again, I said the same against Chelsea and we panned them. So who knows, man?
Okay, stick talk, yeah?
Yeah, of course, man.
I respect that. And Seb, what are you expecting?
I feel like we'll beat Wolves. I think it was definitely going to be a difficult game, though. But I feel like we should definitely beat Wolves. And I feel like Oli will definitely go with a three in midfield. And I think he should. And then he should also start Daniel James. Because if Wolves play the 3-5-2, especially on the counter-attack, I feel like we'll have joy if we can move the ball quick enough. So if we can move the ball quick enough and kind of expose the wing backs, I feel like we'll have joy. So I just want to just, yeah, I feel like we'll at least we'll get like a 1-0 victory or something.
Cool. So can I go around the room and get some predictions?
Yeah.
Jisoo?
2-1 Wolves.
2-1 Wolves. Elijah?
I'm going to go 2-1 United, Rash and 9 a.m. again.
Wow, all right, even predicting scorers, yeah?
Yeah, man.
Cheeky 4-0 win, man's piping up. And Seb, what's your prediction, sir?
Either 1 or 2-0 to us.
You don't want to predict no scorers, no?
Rash, of course, man. He's on the score sheet, man.
Okay, cool. Come. All right. So, we're going to finish up with some listeners' questions. Whoever feels ready to answer the question, just do your thing. We obviously operate a safe space here, making that a Great Again podcast, sponsored by Nestle.
Of course.
I've got a question from Duragino. Duragino. Will AP ever push on to be the first Brazilian superstar at United? If you get Champs League...
Look, Cup, yeah.
Let him finish. Let him land. Let him land. Will he ever push on to be the first Brazilian superstar at United? If we get Champs League come May, do we get Sancho? What is... Wow, wow, wow. Man is asking bare questions. All right, so we're going to break this down into individual questions, yeah? So, first one, and I'll let you answer this one, Elijah. Will AP ever push on to be the first Brazilian superstar at United?
The only way that's possible is if he focuses on being the Brazilian Albrighton. All he needs to focus on, just play out right wing, learn how to shift it a yard and whip it in, because that's all the guy's good for, man. He has a good cross on him. He's all right at set pieces. The guy is, he's just, other than that, he's a ghost. And I don't... he pissed me off, man.
That's what I was saying. You had stocks in him originally, though, didn't you?
Huh?
You had some stocks in
me?
Him.
Me? No, yeah. No.
You never liked him, yeah?
That was Sebi. That was Sebi, mate.
Sebi, boy. That diverse portfolio, yeah? And then the second one is, if we get Champions Leagues come May, do we get Sancho?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you're going to find anyone disagreeing with you on this particular one, Duragino, just because I think everybody on the pod has expressed some interest or some big hope in signing Sancho. The first question, what is Tim Fosu... I ain't heard that name in years. What is Team Fosu-Mensah's best position, and does he fit into the team when he comes back fit?
No, he's crap.
Wow.
I do not like him at right back. I said it at, even at Palace, like when Wan-Bissaka came in, there was just a big difference. At centre back, maybe in a free. In defensive midfield, I don't think he's played enough there, but like he's just not played enough there.
I heard that at youth level in defensive mid he was a monster.
Yeah, but obviously that's at youth level, but he is very physical, and the thing I like about him is that he can go cover ground so quickly. And the good thing about him playing right back is that we've seen a lot in recent years that managers have been playing their midfielders at left back just to help with their positioning, and because it's such a tight space, when they go back into midfield, they start to appreciate space more. So I think it could help him, but he needs to tighten up on his technique, because sometimes he can be very rash. Even though he's okay technically, positionally he can be very rash, but he does have the speed to recover. But yeah, it does look like it's over for him at United, because he's had two loans now. He's not really shone in either of them. He's been at, well, Fulham was a poor team and he was a poor defence. And then at Palace, he got overtaken by Wan-Bissaka. But to be Wan-Bissaka is just fucking amazing. So
top quality Wan-Bissaka.
Yeah,
and I mean, any if you can answer this question, is Shaw's time running out at left back?
Yeah, it's done, man.
Hey.
It's done, man.
Hey.
Dude, Arginio, I'm respecting that. Four questions.
Hey, do you know what it is? Yeah, Elijah's got stocks in Shaw. He loves him, bruv. Him,
bro.
You love Shaw, bruv. You love Shaw.
Bam.
I've been telling these guys about Shaw for the last 2-3 years. The guy's finished.
Do you know what?
He recovered.
Do you know what, Fab? It's just like, I just wanna.
Remember those 5 games on the LVG? What a glorious time.
Mate.
He ain't recovered, like, he's done.
We thought we were set, you know. Yeah, this is our left back for the next.
Mate, that game against Chelsea, yeah, I will never forget. That's the best left back forms I've seen in years for a United player. What? That guy, the pass he done for Falcao, he was on joints that game. But yeah, that guy looks like he's gone, because from time he's taken touch with the sole of his foot. You can't play football at professional level when you're taking touch with the sole of your foot. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, I think he's playing on sense.
I think his confidence is just shot. Next question from Vortex Alchemy. Nice name, and he's got the diplomat's DP. So I'm a fan. Do you think Ollie will go all out for the Europa League as a backup to not making the top four? Or will he use it for the squad players? And then secondly, which would you prefer, Dissu?
What would I prefer? I think I would prefer top four than Europa League. I do think United should win the Europa League, because we're meant to be big boys for this competition. But I think top four shows that, okay, cool, you're bread and butter in the league, that, okay, you're one of the better sides. You can compete in your domestic league, which is your bread and butter, as I said. And then, okay, cool. Next year, can we build on that by getting in better players, like maybe the likes of Sancho, hopefully 5 central midfielders as well, and a left back. So, so that's my personal opinion. Obviously, winning a trophy is great, but we've been there, done that, you get me? Like,
And what do you think Ollie will do? Do you think he will take it seriously, or use it for a squad player?
Nah, I think he's gonna play. I think he's gonna play the bums, them, and the young G's unless it looks mad peak that yo, we can't get top four, or with the reserves that they should be able to get in. They should be able to get into the quarterfinals anyway. So once you get to the quarterfinals, you could then start maybe taking it a bit more seriously.
Cool. Saucy Pogba, so you can tell who he's a fan of. What do you think should be our starting midfield? Is it a 2-man midfield or a 3-man midfield? I feel like we've already answered that question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Got a question from Mesh, and then just bare Roman numerals, boy. XCV11. What's that, Elijah?
What was it?
XCV11.
XCV?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense because C is more than X, I'm sure.
X, I thought X was 50.
Not X is 10.
X is 10, bro.
It is what it is.
You can tell I'm the only person in this conversation that didn't go uni, but what the fuck? You must have said, bro. X is
Get the photos of LO, man. Quickly. What is a realistic January transfer window United could have to secure top four?
Just one midfielder, it would be.
The transfer window just closed last week. Man's already talking about
I don't think we'll go heavy. I think we'll get one midfielder, bruv. Like, and I don't know who that'll be, but I think it'll only be one player, max.
Do you know what, yeah? That 4-0 victory made me forget how I felt on Thursday.
Yeah, words.
Fam! I was in my bed just like looking up to the ceiling, fam.
Oi, I couldn't lie, we was rattled.
Obviously, I went away last weekend, and as I was going away, it was looking like we'd get the ball up. So,
yeah.
Obviously, man's abroad, you know, sun's out, eating outside, there's a nice sunset view, man's got lamb chops. Everything's good. Then I pick up my phone and I'm seeing United have stopped the pursuit of the baller. My head was hot. I couldn't even concentrate for the rest of the day. I couldn't concentrate. I knew that was it. We ain't getting anybody else. And then they tried to give us a cheeky Ericsson buzz. And then that was panned out within a couple hours. So, yeah, I was mad. I was furious. I was like, how can we go to the season without signing the centre midfielder?
Mate.
So wait, did you buy some of that Ericsson stock, bro? I said cheeky Ericsson buzz, you know?
I wasn't even too happy with that because, like, okay, don't get me wrong, I think Ericsson's a good player, but we need a midfielder that can play in the first phase. So if we push Pogba on, like, and actually have been able to play some football. So we didn't get Tillemans, we didn't get Ndombele, we didn't get Bruno Fernandes, we didn't go for Doucouré. The only person we seemingly went for is Sean Longstaff, who had a disaster class on the weekend. He looks pants.
Oi, so, Doucouré was poor against Watford, though. Wow.
I heard, but he's good though, man. Uncle was mad. So, yeah, man. And then Ndombele, I heard, even though he was trash, he scored a dirty goal. And you're just feeling sad. So, yes. Yeah. You move.
Boy. Man UFC for the fans. How do we address the midfield with what we have and cover Shaw?
I think Garner's got to come in, man. Like, from what I've seen of him, he's actually a really, really good player.
Yeah,
he's a good player, man.
Isn't he 18?
You're probably right. But he
is a good player. And what I've realised, yeah, about Garner, Gomez, Greenwood, all of their positioning is sick. Yeah, like, all of their positioning is sick. They always know where to be. They play their positions really well. And that's because they haven't been bamboozled by Mourinho and all of the other scumbags. Yeah, I mean, fam, like, if they've stayed away from that other scumbag, so they're still like in the academy phase in their brain. Their positions are still well drilled into them, which is really, really cool. So I feel like 100%, like, if we was gonna play a three, we'll play a three and play Garner, Pogba, and McTominay. I think that 100% works.
Mate, you know, don't even let him marinate.
It worked. Trust me. Like, mate, Garner can pick up balls and he could just spray them all over the gaff. Like, he's proper.
But it's risky though, because obviously that is youth football. He's also a lot taller and stronger than a lot of those players as well. Because he's a unit as well. So, but maybe
that's why I say you play McTominay for the energy, like, to just kind of cover. McTominay's just energy.
Any chance to drop.
McTominay in a conversation said, man. How much that man paying you, man?
Mix sauce, that's the kid, bro.
Fam. But yeah, remember, this is the PMP Premier League, fam. Fam. He could get pammed, like.
Hey, God's ass might get pammed, you know? Like, mate. I can't imagine playing Little Man Garner, yeah?
Bam.
Little Man Garner away at White Hart Lane, yeah? Sissoko in the belly. Nah, right, Sissoko
will have a... Not against them, man.
That's
so who would you play?
That's reverse racism, bro. We can't be doing that.
That's a reverse
racism. Who would you play against them, man?
Yeah, you got to bring... It's a McTominay and Pogba thing. And then you got a Hail Mary in it. God knows, bro. I know you want to say it, but don't.
No, scary.
I would put Twan Zebe in there against them, man, fam. I don't care.
What, in midfield?
Fam.
Is he alright in midfield? What's his? Is he? Can he play?
No, the thing is, yeah, he's not even good in midfield, but against them, man. You got to pack that, because, man.
Yeah, it's that when Jose put Pepe in.
Yeah.
That type of thing.
Hey, Jose's a scumbag. Man, put Pepe. Man, played a midfield of Pepe, Alonso, and Kadira against in the El Clasico. Hey,
God, I love him so much, man.
What did you think was going to happen, though?
He's disgusted, fam. How do you play so much, a centre back and two defensive minded midfielders in El Clasico? Because all the man was just rotating.
Yellow cards.
Hey, Alonso, you're telling me.
Yellow cards, good lord.
He really wants to destroy that pressure. I remember before he came, it was good free-flowing football. He came in, it became the dirtiest game ever, man. Oh, I love it.
He held us 5-0, yeah? And he said, never again.
Yeah!
This is why they love him, man. Obviously, he can't get a job at the moment, which is not nice, because we want to see him back doing what he does best. But he's a villain we all love, man. You just don't want him managing your club.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, he's such an elite villain, bro. He's the greatest, fam.
He's the elite villain.
Cool. And on that note, we're gonna end the pod, the winners pod. We're gonna call it this week. Hopefully, we get to say that for a few pods this season. We keep losing. We're changing the intro to "Hello, Darkness, My Old Friend." So pray for us, and hopefully, we'll hear you guys next week.
Peace. Description. Done. How about
Martial is isolated. Skirtle here. Oh yes! Welcome to Manchester United. Anthony Martial.
I beat for backstage till the bar's done. Slap one, slap two, that she danced on. Like Rashford, I'm a fast one.
Thank you, man.
Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Bang. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U. Thank you, man. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Bang. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Support for this episode has been provided by Ratio Keto Friendly Crunchy Bars. If counting macros makes your head spin, count instead on a snack by Ratio. They've done the math for you, so you can spend less time studying the label and more time enjoying your day. Delicious and convenient, both their toasted almond and lemon almond flavors have 2 grams of net carbs and a unique combination of sugar and protein, all in a satisfying crunch. Interested? Ratio Keto Friendly Bars are now available in the granola bar aisle at Walmart.